Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury and welcome to this ASI cast. Just a few weeks ahead of this year's International Television and Video Conference in Budapest, we thought it would be interesting to catch up with Tony Petra, EVP of Watch at Nielsen. Tony's returning to audience measurement, having been working for the last few years in Nielsen's retail measurement data services. Responsible for all of Watch's assets outside the US, Tony's fresh perspective on her return is especially interesting. In this wide-ranging interview, our research director, Richard Marks, discovers the changes she has observed, not least in the very different conversations she now has with Nielsen's clients.
Hi, Tony. Well, you've returned to audience measurement following some time elsewhere in the Nielsen organisation. Can you explain what your new role involves?
Richard. I am responsible for the commercial and product leadership teams for all of our watch assets outside of the US, essentially. And so it's a great role. I'm, of course, loving being back in the watch world. It's where I grew up, if you like, professionally. And it's vastly changed. It's been some 5 years since I was out servicing by clients in the Nielsen world. And so it's great to be back in watch, actually.
In terms of the Nielsen definition of watch, clearly that involves television. Does that include a wider brief in terms of the internet as a platform and online?
Absolutely. So our watch business incorporates all of our audience measurement services, as well as the new but burgeoning pieces of, the DMP world, our neurofocus world, all of our brand effect world. So if you really think, in terms of reach, resonance and reaction, all of that is what we call watch within the Nielsen world.
And it's got alliteration as well, the three
yes,
R's.
Yes, it's the three R's. We've done a good job educating the world on the three R's, I think.
And the section you're in for the last few years was the equivalent of watch, wasn't it?
Actually, no. I did spend 1 year managing a watch quality program in North America, though, very specific to our North American service. But actually, I spent primarily the last 4 years on what we call the buy side of the service.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Deploying global enterprise solutions to our consumer goods clients and very much around the retail measurement service data. So it was an interesting break, actually, out of watch. It had been many years since I'd dealt directly with the CPG clients and with those retail service data points. But again, my heart is in watch, so I'm back.
So something like Catalina, does that sit in like a Venn diagram overlap between watch and buy?
It does. It does, yes. Yes, our Catalina services do sit between the two and feed both sets of data, of course.
So as you mentioned, you're returning to audience measurement after, I guess, a short time away in terms of a whole career. But that must give you an interesting perspective on things. I don't know if you were at an ASI about 5 years ago where Mike Kirkham was chairing a session after having not been at the ASI for 3 or 4 years and decided to take a detour and lecture us on the fact that, in his view, not a lot had changed and he'd hoped a lot more had changed since he came back. Have you noticed any major shifts in the industry thinking since you've been away?
Yes, I have, actually. And at the time I would have concurred with Mike. I think, I've now been in audience measurement services for over 20 years. And I would say that in the first 15, it did feel as though things didn't really change, right? We hadn't moved very much. We'd always spoken about passive and single source, and it felt like we'd spoken about those for 15 years and they hadn't moved forward. We all looked with horror to the advent of digital, and then that kind of went off pretty smoothly. But coming back now, there is a huge chunk of this business that I've had to relearn, and that is really all around digital. So for me, there has been a massive step forward. Our digital services, our digital products are something that I've had to learn. It's when I sit with a broadcaster client today, the conversation is just so very different because it's all about the work that they're doing on all of the new platforms. Whereas again, 5, 10, 15 years ago, it was very much around their content. And now it's very much around the platforms and how they're developing those.
And in terms of, I mean, you mentioned that first 15 years or whatever, there was also a lot of focus on measurement technology in the sense of the, you know, the debates around PPMs and watches and what would replace a people meter. It seems to me that we're now in an era where it's less about what replaces a people meter than what supplements a people meter and what can be, you know, added into panels to sort of cover off the digital offering, as it were. But as a result, one of the things that, you know, we've discussed at past ASIs is whether there is a convergence in what the research agencies are offering themselves, that they seem to be primarily all talking about integrated systems with big data, but people meter panels at the heart. Do you think there is a clear blue water between what the agencies are offering, or is there a growing consensus on the way forward?
I believe that there is some consensus. It's a bit of time to get there, right? I think so. You know, again, if I look back, let's call it the age of the engineers, you're quite right. Mm. We spent a lot of time talking about technology and trying to differentiate ourselves with our technology in, you know, let's call it in the 90s and early 2000s. Today, of course, it's the rise of the data scientists. You know, probably our most valuable group of people are coming back to the fore as we're all looking to be creative and to differentiate ourselves, not so much with the technology that we're using, but how we put together different data sets. And this, I think, will continue as we move to a more addressable form of advertising, right? So as the addressable piece of advertising grows in importance, so we as agencies have the ability to, at the very least, differentiate ourselves in terms of how we put that big data together, what big data we have to put together. If you look at the underlying principles, though, I think, you know, they're all the same because it's what our clients need, and we're all out there to meet the needs of our clients.
Mm. At the ASI last year in Venice, Megan Clarkin described the US cross-platform TV rating system for total audiences, I think it's called, and that was actually won the best paper. At that stage, as it transpired in the panel session afterwards, I think the system was built but was being trialed in like a beta with specific clients in the US who could access the data and evaluate it. Do you know what the feedback's been from those clients and how far away you are from having it as effectively the currency that everyone's accessing?
Well, actually, I mean, great strides. So just during this last upfront season, so a month ago, the chief investment officer at Group M, Marino Scanzoni, says that, you know, he predicts that total audience will become the negotiation platform for next year's upfront. So there really is, you know, the clients have really bought into it. I think that it's been a huge success, and it is not yet the currency, but fast on its way to being a currency that the networks feel confident in using to negotiate the upfronts for next year. So the vision that Megan had, which was a great vision, is coming to light. You may have noticed as well that we've just announced we will finally be retiring the last of our diary services going into early next year. So, you know, that's kind of the final piece where we're actually moving completely into electronic and digital measurement for all of our audience measurement in the US.
Yeah, I picked up on that last week. And also, I think part of the replacement for the diaries, if I'm reading it correctly, is using the PPMs in the local markets.
Correct.
Is that correct in terms correct. Of integrating them into the people meter samples?
Correct.
Is there still a role within that for using return path data as well as an additional input?
Absolutely, and that's part of the deal. So we'll be augmenting the services with all sorts of data sets, right? And it's, you know, I think as we look at fragmentation, it has to be the way forward. And you know, I don't know if you're aware of the work that we're doing with Auditel in Italy to integrate, you know, what we're calling the super panel data. So around the world, we're finding more and more clients are interested in having larger data sets, whether they're off the basis of cheaper panel methodologies or incorporating other pieces of data, and thereby, you know, being able to capture that very long tail that we're now seeing. It's a very pertinent conversation at this moment with all of our clients.
Do you think, maybe a controversial thing to say, but looking back with the benefit of hindsight, do you think Apollo was possibly a turning point in the sense that it kind of demonstrated that even something that big, I mean, for listeners who weren't aware, Apollo was a venture, I think they had Nielsen Arbitron and involved sort of effectively scanning panels and electronic measurement, but was very much seen as the future, but didn't actually transpire, I think, because of the cost of it, and in a way kind of signaled a move from single source towards investigating other techniques, because certainly the impression we had in Europe up until the last decade was that the States was very wedded to the idea of single source.
Yeah, I mean, single source was held up as the Holy Grail, right, through the late 90s at least, but at the time was incredibly expensive to do. It is a lot easier today because of the digital world, because also, you know, the shift in the way the consumers are consuming both content and shopping. So we're just able to track them much more easily and come up with, if you like, single source data, whether it's inferred or actual because of the loyalty card data that we have. So I think Apollo was a grand vision at the time that was impossible because of cost back then, but today is much more feasible from a cost perspective. And of course will become the basis for an addressable world. So if we do want to move into a world where the addressable advertising is, as measured, if you like, excuse me, as accountable as non-addressable, then it's very important for us to be able to provide, single source.
Mm. Well, I guess if you were doing Apollo now, or any company was doing Apollo now, what you wouldn't be doing was getting one respondent to do everything, which is clearly the downside of single source is, yep, the respondent load of saying you must scan all your shopping and